Good morning, and Happy New Year to everybody. I want to thank Pastor Cruz for the opportunity this morning to be able to give an update to all of you of the ministry in the Philippines, and also for the opportunity to encourage your hearts in the Lord through His Word this morning. Kristen and I have been thankful for the 7 months that we've been able to spend here with our family, not just in Pennsylvania, but to be able to make two trips to Canada to see my folks. Usually, we only get to see them for about 2 weeks every couple of years, but this year has been special. We've been able to make two trips, spending about 3 weeks each time with him, and that's been a blessing to us. And this was the first Christmas that we were able to spend here in Pennsylvania in 7 years, so that was really special for our family, just for all of us to be together, although we had to delay it for a week, but we're glad that we were able to do that, and just it's been a special 7 months. Want to just let you know how much we appreciate Emmanuel and your prayers for us. A lot of you have been expressing to us how you've been praying for us specifically, not just while we were here, but during our ministry there. And so we appreciate that very much. You've been generous to our family, just through supporting us and even helping us with different ministry needs. And we really appreciate, we thank the Lord for you. Just want to take a few moments to share with you an update of the trip I took back in September. We weren't originally planning to spend 7 months here in the U.S. We were just going to come for a short two-month visit because of the pandemic, everything being online before we left. When we rebooked our tickets, decided to stay for 3 months. And things continued to get, the quarantine got stricter and stricter in the Philippines while we were here, just decided to keep the kids here since all their schooling was online, ended up staying for 7 months. But we knew that to do that, I had to make a trip back. And so we planned for me to go back for 2 months in September and October, returning here in mid-November. So I had originally planned to be back for 10 weeks. And I had several goals when I went back. I had four goals specifically. I just want to share with you how the Lord really worked in ways that I could not imagine. I know many of you are behind that. Many of you are praying for a successful ministry during those weeks that I was back. My first goal was to take the audio and video equipment that you all had donated. You gave about $1,500, a little bit more, for some audio and video equipment for the church's live streaming in the Philippines. Previous to that, we were only using just a webcam for all the worship services. And so we were able to get that there. And within 3 days, our youth pastor, who's very techie, was able to get things up and running in 3 days. And so very, very grateful to the Lord, very thankful to Him. And so many people have been commenting about how much improved the quality of the audio and the quality of the video. They were, especially the older people, before they were struggling just watching on their cell phones. But now they could hear God's Word being preached clearly, and they were very thankful for that. On any given week, even now that physical worship has returned, we have about 35 families and individuals that are tuned in, either through the live stream on Facebook or through the Zoom meeting for our church. And so we're very thankful for your gift, your generosity that way. My second goal was also to transfer the money that you and some other individuals here in the U.S. donated for the school ministry, LBBCA. And the way that money has to be transferred over there, unless you want to pay an exorbitant amount in transfer fees, usually takes about 3.5 to 4 weeks to clear. And so my goal was just to make sure that worked out very smoothly, and thank the Lord that did transpire. And the money that was donated didn't just help the school sustain the school for this year, but it's actually going to help the school starting next school year. And so we're very thankful for that. Besides our school principal, we have four full-time teachers on staff. We have two missionary, U.S.-based missionaries that ended up flying back to the U.S. In April because of the pandemic. And then Kristen and I teach. We had to actually let go of two of our staff, ancillary staff, in the middle of the pandemic. But we appreciate the help that you gave. And since the school year started, the Lord has also added a few students to help with the school, keep that ministry in existence. My third goal was also to visit each church family and individual who would allow me to visit. A lot of them are still fearful. There's some areas that are still on lockdown. And so within the 7 weeks that I was there, I made about 40 visits to church families or to individuals. There were some families that didn't want me to come visit yet because of the virus. They had some elderly people. They were being careful. Some of the visits I made, I would stay in the street, and they would stand in the front door. and just visit with them that way, pray with them, encourage them with God's word. There was one visit that I made that was really strange. They had a sanitizing mat by the front door, bottles of alcohol right there for me to wash my hands. And as soon as I walked in, there was a chair right by the front door, had me sit down right there, and the rest of the family was across the room, about at least 2 meters away. Nobody was coming near. Everybody was wearing masks. And it was very strange. Usually in Filipino culture, anytime you come in someone's house, they offer you something. And if they don't have anything, somebody will go out and buy something or prepare something really quickly. But this time, there wasn't anything, not even a glass of water. They were just all being very, very careful. But, you know, the pandemic and the virus has done strange things to us and our thinking a lot. And I don't blame them. I know a lot of people are just trying to be careful in different ways, and we've got to be gracious to different people. But it was very strange way of visiting at times. There were some people in areas that were still on very strict lockdown, and so I couldn't even go see them. But for all the families and individuals who were willing, I got a chance to see how they were doing, got a chance to encourage them with God's word and to pray with them. And it's been neat to see how the Lord has been taking care of the different church families. There was one lady who, about 3 months into the pandemic, lost her work. And I was really concerned about how her family was doing. And so when I went and visit and asked how they were doing, I was expecting to hear bad news. But all they had were praises for the Lord. And they said that because she lost her job, she actually was forced to stay home and spend time with her husband, whereas before they've never been able to do that. But now everybody's at home. Her son had to work from home. Her husband also had to work from home. So now, because of this pandemic, all of them were there, were able to spend time together, and they were talking about how since the pandemic began, now their family devotions has been consistent. They've been doing it every night. Whereas before, because of the traffic, everybody has to leave for work early, and they get home late. They barely had enough time to spend with each other, but now they had hours and hours. In fact, they had the entire day to spend with one another. And so she was really grateful, and the Lord has been graciously providing for their needs. Another lady in our church who was the only one working in their family, she had four daughters. Some of them were still studying, but all her kids lost their jobs at the beginning of the pandemic, and they all were living at home. So for the first three, four months, she was the only one who was working, providing for her entire family. And 3 months into the pandemic, she lost her job. But within a week or two later, all four of her children found jobs and just be able to provide for the rest of the family. So that's really God's goodness. Many other stories like that of how God just providing for the needs. But more importantly, what I found was the Lord had really done a work in the hearts of people and just really making them focus more on who he is, allowing them to spend more time in the word. Now that they have less time traveling, less time on the road, being stuck in traffic, they actually have more time at home, just being able to be quiet, be silent before God and spend time with him. So that was a really big praise. A fourth goal I had was to check on not just the church, but the fourth goal was also to check on the school ministry, see how the teachers were going, and just the online teaching. And everyone is adjusted. Some of our older teachers had a difficult time just even in the mindset of being forced to go from teaching physically to have to sit in a room and teach everyone online. That was really difficult for them. But by the time I got home, they were so comfortable. In fact, there would be lunch breaks where they would talk and they would use common computer jargon and be very comfortable with it, whereas just a few months before that, they would not have even known what that would have been. The Lord also gave some unexpected ministry opportunities within the time frame that I was there. I had the opportunity, I was called upon by a church about 2 hours away to help their church go through a really rough time there because of the pandemic. Some responses that weren't right happened. There was conflict between their pastor and the church. And they asked me to come in, step in, and attempt to just reconcile that and help the pastor make a peaceful exit. And there were hours of meetings between the pastors of Lighthouse and that pastor and the church. And thankfully, the 2 days before I left, they were able to have that reconciliation, which allowed that pastor to exit gracefully. And there's an interim pastor there now helping them grow spiritually. But that was definitely unexpected. It was difficult for the church there, but that's God's grace, giving the wisdom for everything instead of it to blow up, just for everybody to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. I also had the opportunity to share the gospel and lead a mother and daughter to the Lord while I was there. One of the weekends that I was there, I got a phone call from the lady that Kristen and I usually go to exchange our money from dollars to peso. We've been trying to build a relationship with her, a very strong Catholic woman. But apparently the last few months, the Lord has been working in her heart. She's been attending a Bible study at another church, but didn't feel comfortable sharing her family, what they were going through as a family, with them yet to get counsel. So she came with her teenage daughter, just asking for some wisdom. And I had the opportunity to open up the Bible and show her that Jesus Christ is the only one who can give her hope in whatever it is that she's going through. And that afternoon, she and her 17-year-old daughter asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. So as far as I know, she's tuning in to our daily devotionals at our church, but she's been attending online Bible studies at another church. Praise the Lord for that. I want to share with you also the current situation in Manila. When I preached here last, right before I left, the quarantine was still pretty tight. About a week or two after I got there, they had eased that quarantine. So now if you're 18 to 65 years old, the second week of September, they finally allowed those in that age range to leave their homes. Whereas previously, only one person in each home were allowed to leave their house. Now, if you're between 18 to 65, you're allowed to leave your home. And also, they allowed physical worship gatherings at 30%. So with all the different protocols that the government set, we're able to open up our church services to have at least 70 people for each service. And so that's the last month or so, almost each service has been full. And we really praise the Lord for that. It was very humbling and a very joyful occasion that first Sunday when we all met. And the sanctuary, after many months, was finally filled with all those voices praising the Lord. And everybody was happy. Everybody was wearing face masks. They had to, and now they have to wear face shields because of a government mandate. But they were just so happy and thrilled to see other Christians and to be able to physically sing to the Lord and to hear God's preaching. And that's something, hopefully, that we'll never take for granted. We look forward to the day when the government will open up all the services 100%, and hopefully that's going to happen this year. We were supposed to leave about a week from today. That was the plan. We are booked on flights for January the 10th. With this new coronavirus variant, the Philippines put 20 countries on a list, a short travel ban for 2 weeks. And then just yesterday morning, we found that they added two more countries to that list. And one of those countries was the United States. And we have tried to get in contact with different people. My cousin who works at the airport, a friend of my sister who is an immigration officer. And apparently the Philippines will allow me, because I'm a Filipino citizen and our three kids, because they have dual citizenship, they'll allow us to enter the country, but they will not allow Kristen to enter the country. And so we're forced to delay our trip until that ban is lifted. Hopefully they'll lift that in January the 15th. So tomorrow I'll be getting in touch with the airlines and hopefully push us back just for a week. But if you would, please pray for us that the Lord would allow that to happen. We're anxious to get back. We're looking forward to getting back to ministry and being with our people and just encouraging them in the Lord. When we do get back, we're all going to have to test negative and also complete a 14-day quarantine. If we were to go back right now, we would be forced to quarantine in a government facility or a government-approved facility. But we're hoping that once they lift this temporary ban, we'll just be forced to quarantine at a hotel for a couple of days until our results come out negative and then finish our quarantine at home, which was what they were doing. So at this point, we're kind of in a little bit in limbo, and it's really frustrating. I think Pastor Tim was saying that, 2020 has been a rough year. It's been a rough year. It's been a rough last 2 weeks for the Emmanuel family. But I just want to encourage you, even though 2020 was difficult for all of us, and we're looking forward to a better year up ahead, God is still good. He was good in 2019. He was good in 2020. And He will always be good to us. And we can keep our eyes focused on Him. And it is my hope and my prayer to be an encouragement to you towards that end this morning. Please take your Bibles and open to Luke chapter 10. Jesus had a few friends in the town of Bethany, siblings. Probably the more famous one would be Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. And there were two sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, who were very familiar with also. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38, all the way down to verse 42, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Our Father in heaven, we praise you for being a good God to us. Thank you, Lord, that your love has never changed. No matter what our circumstances are, Lord, you are faithful, you are merciful, you are compassionate, you are gracious. Thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the salvation that he provided through his death on the cross and through his resurrection. Thank you that we can have a relationship with you, that you have given us new life by your Spirit. Thank you that we have your word that reveals to us the glory of Jesus Christ and changes us into that same glory slowly, Lord, by your Spirit. We ask this morning as we open up your word that you would give us clear understanding of Scripture, that you would show us who you are and how we ought to respond to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A six-year-old girl by the name of Cindy was busy preparing for her Christmas. She was making some Christmas cards, and she needed some help writing a few names, wasn't quite sure of the spelling and cutting things out. So she went to look for her mom, and when she found her mom was in the living room busy putting together the Christmas tree. And she said, "Mom, could you help me with these Christmas cards?" And her mother, very busy in the middle of something, said, "Why don't you go find your grandmother? I'm too busy putting this Christmas tree together and getting ready for Christmas, which was just in a few days." And feeling a little bit dejected, she went to find her grandmother, who she found in the kitchen, busily baking some Christmas cookies. And so she had the same question, "Grandma, can you help me write these Christmas cards? I just have a few here, and I just need to get them done before Christmas." And her grandma said, I'll do it as soon as I'm done baking these cookies. I'm getting them ready for Christmas in a few days. Why don't you go see if your grandpa will help you?" And so she goes out and finds him in the garage working on some furniture that needed to be fixed. And she asked him the same question, and his response was similar to the first two responses that she got, as he was had his hammer in one hand and was fixing a couple of chairs that were a little bit loose, and said, "Why don't you go find your dad, as I have to get these chairs fixed in time for Christmas dinner." And she was really feeling dejected by this time, went out of the house and found her dad hanging up some Christmas lights by the bushes, and asked him the same question, "Dad, I have some Christmas cards. I need to get them written. Everyone's too busy. Can you please help me?" What do you think the dad's response was? "Well, Cindy, I have a few Christmas lights I need to hang. As soon as I'm done, I'll be in the house, and I will help you." Well, it took a while for everybody to get done what they were doing, and she was able to finish her cards on her own. But that night, as she was being put to bed by her mom, just as they normally do, they knelt down by the side of their bed, side of her bed, and began praying to the Lord. And as she usually did, each evening she began her prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And as she continued on, everything was as usual until she got to the part where she said, "Forgive us our Christmases." Her mother nudged her and whispered, "Trespasses." She peeked out at her mom, shut her eyes more intently, and with a louder voice said, "As we forgive those who have Christmased against us." I don't know about you, but I know 2020 has been a different Christmas, but our typical Christmases are really busy, filled with a lot of activity. In fact, it's not just Christmas that gets really busy with all the different activities, gifts that we need to buy, things that need to be baked, gifts that need to be wrapped, Christmas decorations that need to be put up. I think we could say that all of life, when we allow it, gets pretty busy. In fact, even now, welcoming 2021, maybe you've already come up with your to-do list, things that you want to do, just throwing yourself into the new year, and you've already found yourself busy with different tasks. And the problem is that there's a lot of good things that we could do. The problem is not having the discernment to figure out which are the things that we really need to do, which are the things that we just want to do, and which are the things that we ought to do. Jesus Christ is our reason for living. Jesus Christ is the one who gives us hope each day. Jesus Christ isn't just our creator. Jesus Christ is our savior who died on the cross for our sins. And Jesus should be the center of every decision and every task that we do. And what we find here in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, are two sisters who make different decisions about how they will respond to Jesus Christ. But really, there's only one choice that Jesus says is needful. And that's the choice to put Jesus Christ first. And as you think about 2021, and as you make your preparations, you make your New Year's resolutions or your to-do lists for a week, we need to remember that we need to make that choice to put Jesus Christ first in everything that we do. Let's go ahead and look. Look at her first decision here. We find it in verse 38. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." When you look at that first half of that verse, the personal pronoun says, as they went, implying that Jesus was probably with his disciples traveling south. And as they went, he entered into a certain village. And the original languages talk about he himself, meaning there was a special emphasis on it was just Jesus Christ making a detour apart from his traveling group. We know that Jesus Christ is good friends with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And so probably as they were making that journey, probably going south, that he wanted to make a stop and just spend some time with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus and catch up with his disciples and those who were traveling with him later. And the Bible says that a woman named Martha received him into her house. We don't know for sure, but probably as Jesus entered that town, Martha, maybe on her way to market that morning, spotted Jesus and immediately welcoming Jesus, extended an invitation for him to come into their house and have a meal with them. Now, we don't know all that transpired during that day. That's just a conjecture. But it's very clear that Martha here makes the choice to focus on Jesus Christ. You know that you can make that choice today too? You can decide to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is always available for you to serve him. Jesus, you don't have to wait for Jesus to enter your town or the city of Mechanicsburg. You can serve Jesus and decide to focus on Jesus on any day, every day. And here Martha makes a decision, makes the choice to serve Jesus. She probably has to, this visitor is unexpected. She probably has to make some extra purchases, maybe give out some special instructions to the servants, maybe have to rearrange the menu at home. And as she begins preparing, she's probably barking out instructions to Lazarus, maybe Mary, some of the other servants, trying to get things in order because they have a very special guest who came into the house today. For us, what does it mean to serve Jesus Christ? Maybe there are certain things that we need to set aside, maybe some good things that we need to set aside to serve Jesus Christ. Maybe for us, serving Jesus Christ might mean sacrificing our time, sacrificing our money. Maybe a specific block of time when we normally rest or participate in things that we enjoy. Whatever it might be, a desire to do what is right and a desire to focus on Jesus doesn't always come easy. Or a desire does not always translate into action, into doing what's right. You know, you might be sitting here right now, and you might have that desire to focus on Jesus Christ. But desire without discipline will only lead to disappointment. What you really need to do is to match that desire with some action. If in your heart you have that desire to focus on Jesus Christ, what you really need to do is start coming up with a real plan. Maybe it means you need to go to Pastor Cruz or Pastor Tim, Pastor Richie, and ask them, how can I serve the Lord Jesus Christ? How can I focus on Jesus Christ in 2021? What are some ministry roles that need to be filled? Maybe you had a ministry in the past that you stepped away from. Maybe in 2021, what you need to say, instead of asking God to give you a better year, what you need to do is you need to ask God to help you give more of yourself to Him and focus on Jesus Christ. You need to make a choice to serve Him. If Jesus Christ is the reason for why we live, our life needs to be focused on Him and Him alone. We need to make that choice to put Jesus Christ first. Well, Martha obviously has a sister named Mary, and Mary makes a different choice. Mary decides to listen to Jesus Christ, and you too can make that same choice. You can make the choice to focus on Jesus Christ and serve Him, but you can also make the choice to listen to Jesus Christ. Verse 39 says this, "She had a sister called Mary," the Bible says, "she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word." Now, I want you to pay attention to that word "also." That's very important in this verse. Oftentimes, I think when we read this, narrative, there are several dangers. Sometimes there's the danger of getting too upset at Martha, that she wasn't focusing on Jesus Christ. But we have to remember that Martha plays a very important role here, and we can't be too hard on her. In fact, I'm sure in church there are many Marthas. And if we didn't have those Marthas around, there'd be many things that would not get done in the church, many things that would not get done in our homes. And so we cannot be too hard on Martha. But here, another danger that we have is looking at Mary and says, well, you know, Mary didn't really do anything. She could have done more to help her sister. Well, let's look at what happens here. You can decide to listen to Jesus Christ. Now, there are things that we need to do and things that we like to do. And that word "also" implies to us that Mary, apparently, was helping her sister Martha, but probably she got the stopping point, or probably she had fulfilled her task. And so she decides, now that she has already helped her sister Martha prepare the meal for Jesus, she's also going to sit down at Jesus' feet and listen to His teaching. Now, there are many things that can distract us from the really important things, but we can't push out or neglect the things that we should do or the things that we need to do. What is that? Sit at Jesus' feet and listen to His teaching. Usually at the end of each year, I do try to do a little bit of reflection and think about the ways that I could grow spiritually in the upcoming year, things that maybe I could do better in leading my family spiritually, leading the church spiritually, and oftentimes we come up with those different lists. And every year on that list is getting healthy, eating better, and exercising. How many of you have that kind of mindset every year, right? And usually sometimes lasts a little bit longer than other years, and we usually say things like, all right, I'll start next Monday, right? And then things just go from bad to worse in a hurry. But I wonder how many of you, as you thought about 2021, have made the decision that you're going to spend more time and you're going to be more purposeful, more intentional about sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to His words. Why should we do that? Psalm 1 verse 2 says, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night." I hope you're delighting in God's law. His prayer in Psalm 119 verse 18 says, "Open Thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law." Are you praying that God would show you wondrous things from His word? Psalm 119 verse 97 says, "Oh, how I love Thy law. It is my meditation all the day." If somebody were to ask you, what is it that you love the most? What would you say? Would it be your family, your car, your hobby, maybe your house, your job? Or is it spending time sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to His words? Psalm 119 verse 174 says, "I have longed for Thy salvation, O Lord, and Thy law is my delight." You can make that choice to listen to Jesus' words. My childhood friend Joseph one time expressed to me the last conversation that he had with his mother on her deathbed. His mother was struggled with cancer for about a year and a half, and they knew that the end was coming. They didn't know if it would be hours or if it would be just a couple more days. And she called him into the room and was trying to tell him a few things, but he was the last one. There were three siblings, called in the first son, then called the daughter in, then he was the last one to be called in. By the time that she had gotten him, she was just so exhausted that he could barely understand what she was saying. And so after a few minutes of struggling, he could tell that his mom was really struggling to speak. He could barely understand her. He told his mom, "Mom, just rest and just talk to me in a few hours. I'll come back in after you've rested." He didn't know that that would be his last opportunity to speak with his mom. And he said, "I still don't know what she said. I wish I could just go back and take that opportunity and listen to the words of that one I love," not knowing that that would be his final opportunity. Do you know that at the end of your life, at the end of my life, probably we're going to regret spending too much time doing things that we enjoyed and not spending enough time listening to the words of our Savior Jesus Christ? During this new year, you will have many opportunities to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But as you serve Him during those opportunities, there are going to be some things that the Lord Jesus is going to want to communicate to you, certain truths that He wants you to learn, certain principles that He wants you to turn into biblical convictions. The question is, will you be in a position to hear those words and internalize them and turn them into action? How can we do that? Well, will you make the time to listen to what Jesus wants to say to you? You know, maybe you've struggled this last year. Maybe you're struggling now. Jesus plans to meet your every need. Jesus can meet your every need. He can meet your physical needs. He wants to meet and can meet your spiritual needs. Will you include in your schedule a consistent time to listen to Jesus' words? The Lord Jesus Christ is the reason why we live each day. We can decide to focus on Him. We can decide to listen to Him. But we can also allow serving Him distract us from listening to Him. Look at verse 40. Martha here, having a good heart, wanting to serve Jesus Christ, wanting to focus on Him, show her love for Him. And maybe that's you. Probably that's most of us. If I were to ask you, do you love Jesus? You say yes. And if I said, do you want to serve Jesus? And probably you're going to say yes. But the problem is, just like Martha, we can allow serving Jesus to distract us from listening to Him. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Now let's look at some of the things that's happening here. First, we can see that Martha has allowed her service, her lavish service to Jesus Christ, distract her. The Bible says that she was cumbered about or distracted. That word means to be drawn away from, to be driven about mentally, to be distracted, to be over-occupied, to be busy about something specific. And isn't it true that the more tech we have around us, it seems like the more distracted we are, right? It's funny how it seems like the screens that we're getting into, before it was just the typical size of a computer monitor, and now we've got so many different size screens. You know, we got the normal monitor, we got the tablets, the iPads, we've got the iPhone, the iWatch, and then we've got the big TVs. I mean, we're getting smaller and bigger both ways. And it's easy to just get distracted. And sometimes we have three different things, three different programs open. We're trying to do many different things. And oftentimes I think we struggle with doing one thing really well because we're distracted. And you can almost imagine Martha maybe trying to cook three or four dishes because Jesus Christ is so special and He's here in our home, and she's trying to get this dish cooked and this other dish prepared, barking orders at this servant, telling this other person what to do. And she looks over looking for Mary, her trusted number two in the kitchen, and she can't find her. She looks over and she spots her at Jesus' feet, and this upsets her. She goes to Jesus Christ. So here what we have is she's distracted. And what is she distracted about? Well, she's not even distracted about a bad thing. She was distracted or cumbered about with much serving. Do you know that you and I can be distracted with serving Jesus Christ? Serving Jesus Christ is a good thing. In fact, if you were to ask Pastor Cruz if you could serve Jesus Christ more, probably he would say, yes, there are more things that you can do. In any church, if you ask any pastor, are there things that I can do to serve Jesus Christ? There are many more things that we can do to serve Jesus Christ. But serving Jesus Christ doesn't necessarily mean being spiritual or being busy with Jesus Christ. And that's the problem here. She should have been more focused on the teaching of Jesus. She's been drawn away reluctantly from Jesus. Now look at what she does here. The Bible says that she came to him. The idea is that she went right up to him. All right, now we're trying to teach our kids. When we're speaking to adults, when you see us speaking to adults, don't interrupt. And it's been a struggle. You can pray for us, all right? Pray for our kids. And we've instructed them, still instructing them, if you see mom and dad talking to an adult, just if you need something, just stand there. If you think we don't notice you, just put your hand right on our arm and we'll get to you. Might be a week or two, but we'll get to you, all right? And sometimes when they feel like they need us now, what they do is they position their body between us and the person we're talking to, and they start talking. And that's kind of the idea here. This is what Martha does. She goes right up to Jesus Christ. She came right up to him and starts talking. Jesus is in the middle of teaching, and she interrupts Jesus Christ. The Bible says that she came to him and said, and now it gets even worse, Lord, dost thou not care? What is this? Her doctrine has now been affected by her self-pity. She accuses Jesus Christ of not caring. Lord, do you not care? And this is what happens when we allow ourselves to be distracted from Jesus Christ, even when we're distracted with serving Jesus Christ. We can allow whatever it is that is distracting us from, we can allow it to change what we believe about Jesus Christ. And here, she accuses Jesus, don't you care? Now let me ask you, was there ever a time that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't care about you? Then she criticizes Mary and expresses her self-pity. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? And I think that's the problem there when our priorities become skewed. We really move from a position of listening to Jesus Christ and obeying his word to a position of looking at Jesus Christ and telling him what he needs to do for us. It's no longer Martha serving Jesus. It's now, Jesus, you need to serve me. You need to tell my sister to help me with the work that I'm doing. You know, the problem here is that we can be consumed so much with assessing other people's love for Jesus based on what we're doing to serve him. That's really the problem here. Maybe you're saying, I'm busy each week faithfully serving in ministry, while that Christian over there seems to consistently do nothing. And that's really part of her problem here. She was too worried about what other people were doing in comparison to her. And now she asks Jesus to intervene. She is distracted. And what's she distracted? Jesus tells us later on. But let me just challenge you this morning. Don't allow the mundane things of life to distract you from listening to Jesus Christ. Maybe this last couple of weeks you were busy preparing for your Christmas gatherings, right? Maybe you've got deadlines at work or at school and you're busy trying to meet those deadlines. Maybe some of you moms are just busy with everything at home, preparing meals, making sure the children are taken care of. And it just seems at the end of the day, when you finally have everything's quiet, that you just want to crash. Maybe you're busy, young people, hanging out with your friends on a Saturday night. And oftentimes we make that choice to spend more time away from home on a Saturday night. By the time we get home, we're tired, and Sunday rolls along, and us not being prepared physically to come and give Jesus our best. Maybe it's a hobby or a recreational activity that you enjoy doing, and it takes up so much of your time weekend after weekend, and are you distracted with not being able to serve Jesus, but maybe you're not even able to spend time with him, quality, quiet time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it could even be the various ministries that you're involved with the church. There's so many things that you have your hand in that you're unable to spend quality time with Jesus Christ. When I was in college, there was a year that I was taking a full load, and I began to justify in my mind skipping Sunday evening worship services. And I just had too much to study. I would tell myself, there's just so much to get done this week, and I don't have it done yet. I need to spend some more time preparing for that test or memorizing that vocab and writing those papers. And just to go back to church between traveling, spending time at church, that's 3 good hours, maybe 4 hours that I could spend time studying. And I would say things like, well, Lord, I'm sure you understand because I'm here preparing to serve you. I'm sure you understand. And after a few months of doing that, the Lord really convicted my heart. Doesn't matter if you're serving Jesus or preparing to serve him, you can allow serving him to distract you from listening to the very words of Jesus. That was as an excuse. How can you serve Jesus if you don't know him well enough and you don't know what he wants? There's another choice that we have here, and this time Jesus tells us about how important this choice is. One, you can choose to focus on Jesus. Two, you can choose to listen to Jesus, sit at his feet and listen to his words. Three, you can choose to let your serving distract you from listening to Jesus. And fourth, verse 41 to 42 tells us that you can choose to prioritize listening to Jesus above serving him. Verse 41, Jesus answers Martha. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. In our desire to serve Jesus, you can easily confuse what is needful, what is necessary. Look at what Jesus says to Martha. You are careful and troubled. That word careful, that's another word for anxious, or being troubled with many external cares. And probably many times we're worried about what happens around us, the circumstances, things going on at home, things going on at work, things at church. These are external things that we're anxious about or we're careful about. And then he used another word. He says, and troubled. Now this time, this word is talking about being anxious on the inside. Things going on the outside begin to creep into our mind and into our hearts, and we begin to worry, and our focus, instead of being focused on Jesus, now we begin to focus on the things going on around us, the things that are troubling, and we begin to be anxious. Where it's easy to get confused with what's really important, needful. And then he says this, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Don't let yourself be confused with what is needful, but instead what is necessary must not be neglected. Jesus says one thing is needful. In other words, only one thing is necessary. There's only one duty for the Christian. There's only one business really that we need to be focused on. And what is that? That's sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to his words. Jesus also describes this choice that he's elevating as that one needful thing. He says that this is the good part or the good portion. Positive. He's not using the word to downplay what Martha's doing, but he's talking about the fact that this is the best. Not that he was comparing good and evil. What Mary was doing was good. What Martha was doing was evil. What he was saying was what Martha was doing was good, yes, but what Mary was doing was the best. It is best for us to sit at Jesus' feet and to hear God's word. Now, we need to be careful also that we say the last verse here, which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus wasn't saying that Martha has no part with Jesus. He's not saying that. He doesn't disapprove of Martha's activities. They were coming from a heart that loves Jesus Christ. But her attitude, her wrong attitude, was revealed by her condemning her sister Mary and her dissatisfaction with Jesus Christ himself. That's what Jesus rebuked. Jesus had to realign her family's perspective and priorities. Just the other day, our family celebrated our Christmas. We had to delay it for about a week, and it was really highly enjoyable. We had 19 members there, 19 in the home, and a dog. And we enjoyed spending time together, opening presents, eating good food, ribbing one another, telling jokes. We had a good turkey dinner, took a lot of pictures. And later on, we played some games, and the kids played with their new gifts. We made a lot of memories that day. But the thing that I appreciated the most is the fact that we started the day off opening God's Word and reading the Christmas story, realigning our thoughts to what this day or who this day is all about, Jesus. And I hope that that's not the thing that we only do at Christmas, but that's something that we do every day. We start the day off focusing on Jesus, our hope and our reason for living. Let me just challenge you this morning. In your desire to serve Jesus Christ, don't neglect what is necessary. Sit at His feet and listen to His words. If you're looking for a New Year's resolution, how about making a life decision? Make the decision to cultivate your relationship with God by consistently reading His Word and praying. You can train yourself to be godly by making that habit. Just as you can train yourself to be fit by doing the right habits, you can do the same thing in your spiritual life. Deepen your personal time with God. Deepen it and pursue consistency. How about this 2021, instead of being so focused on, you know, whatever that goal is, how about you make it your focus to read through your Bible? There are many Bible reading plans out there. In fact, if you can spare 15 minutes a day, you can get through your Bible every year. Do you know that if you could spare 30 minutes, not spare, let's change that word. If you can offer Jesus Christ 30 minutes a day, you can read through your Bible twice this year. Maybe what you need to do is you need to choose a book in the Bible and make that your book. Choose 1 John and just study it, reread it over and over and get to know it really well. Maybe you haven't been participating in a Bible study. You can get together with a group of other Christians and participate in a Bible study each week. Just gather a few of your friends and say, listen, let's study this book of Scripture and let's listen to what Jesus has to say. Maybe what you need to do is you need to ask a pastor for advice and get three books that will help you in your spiritual life, deepen your knowledge and understanding of who God is. Maybe what you need to do is you need to find another Christian who's more mature and ask them to disciple you, help you grow spiritually. Or maybe some of you more mature Christians need to find a younger Christian and say, listen, can we get together every 2 weeks and just talk about your relationship with the Lord? Maybe we can read the Bible together and pray together. Maybe we can read a book together. Why do we need to do this? Because Jesus Christ is our reason for living. Our reason for living is not our politics. It's not our bank account. It's not our job. It's not our family. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus is the reason for living. We need to make that choice to put Him first in all that we do. Our Heavenly Father, we praise You for Your Word. We praise You for the examples in Scripture that You've given us. Thank You, Lord, for the examples of these two ladies who loved You and all that they did to serve You while You were here on earth to express that love for You. And Father, from their lives, from the narratives and Scriptures, Lord, we gain instruction on how we too can reflect our love for You. And Father, many of us do love You, and probably all of us, Lord, would say that we love You and we want to serve You, and yet serving You can become a distraction. Father, will You help us this year, 2021, and even for the rest of our lives, that we would make that choice to put Jesus Christ first and not allow even the good things in this life to distract us. Help us, Lord, to honor Your name. And we need Your strength. We need Your grace. And we know that's something that You will give, just as You've given us salvation at the cross. You will give us the grace to honor Your name. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.